Congratulations, Bryce.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Congratulations first on getting a Churchill Fellowship, because I think they go through those applications and they choose people with really interesting research topics.
Mm.
Yours is all around media literacy. What is media literacy?
Media literacy, I guess, put simply, is being able to critically consume media. So rather than just take things at face value that you're told, running it through a bit of a filter and starting to ask yourself, who's making this media? Why are they making it? What possible motivations might they have for making it?
You've been in the media a long time.
I have.
When did you start?
Ooh, let me see. Would have been back in the... So I graduated from university in 1989, and then I started... I finished university in 92 and started at News Limited as a copy boy. So back in the days where the printing presses actually rumbled physically beneath our feet at 6 p.m. every evening, because I am that old. And I've been working as a journalist for almost 30 years, and I've seen the industry change enormously in that time, as I'm sure you have. And it was when I became a dad, and I began to look at my own children's media consumption habits and started to think, hang on a minute, they're not getting news and information in the same way that we did when we were growing up, as you were talking about before, whether it was the 7 p.m. news, whether it was the newspapers that were lying around the house, you know, even just by osmosis, if there was news and information that had been curated by a credible source, it was within easy grasp and we were exposed to it. What I found with my own kids, they would increasingly be coming to the dinner table and telling me about facts, in inverted commas, that they had picked up while scrolling online. And I became increasingly concerned that our kids just do not have the critical media consumption skills that we had or we developed inadvertently growing up. And that is a massive problem. I mean, we just need to look at... I mean, it sounds a little bit overblown, but to my mind, this is democracy threatening stuff. Kids, honestly, if you want to raise good, smart digital citizens, they need to be taught to discern online fact from fiction. I really honestly fundamentally believe that media literacy is as important as reading, writing and arithmetic.
You say it's going to be a problem for democracy in the future.
Yeah.
How?
Well, look, I mean, it's no great secret that... You know, you look at what's happened in the US with elections. You look at what Donald Trump is able to do with the creation of his own social media reality. And you look at how the ways in which elections have been manipulated around the world. You don't have to go too far back to the Cambridge Analytica scandal. There is just so many examples of how the way democracies function are increasingly being influenced by bad actors. Now, you can't stop these people doing from what they're doing, but what you can do is you can arm the populace around ways in which to combat these influences. And there's no better time to start doing that than when kids are little. It's too late, I think, when they're teenagers and they're already got their heads buried in phones and screens and things. You need to get them when they're in primary school, which is what we do with the Squiz Kids and our NewsHounds media literacy program, and you need to start to teach them to think critically about the information they're consuming on a daily basis.
You said you noticed your kids accessing all manner of news.
Yeah.
It's classed as news. It's
absolutely.
Sold, whether it's from an influencer. And you only have to look at what's happening with The Voice and the reach that certain social media platforms have and people on social media platforms.
Yeah.
And sorting fact from fiction there and how quickly disinformation, misinformation spreads.
Mm.
Okay, so how are kids getting access to all of this?
So we, as you say, we're listened to every day by 160,000 kids around the country. We go into 5,000 classrooms. We did a big media survey. So we did a big kids and media survey at the beginning of this year. And that found that some 43% of kids are primarily getting their news and information from social media. That's not a great surprise, I don't think, to any parent out there. You know, we all know that our kids that are scrolling through, I mean, these social media sites, they have age limits, but, you know, which kid is honouring them and how are they being policed? So you've got young kids scrolling through Instagram, scrolling through YouTube, scrolling through TikTok, and along the way, they're being fed information that they have no ability to tell whether or not is true. And which is why the 8-part media literacy podcast series we've created called NewsHounds is all about teaching kids to stop, think, and check before believing everything they see, read, or hear on the internet. And we launched that back in November of last year as a pilot program. It's now in 1,750 schools around the country and growing. There is an incredible need out there. So many teachers are telling us, so many parents are telling us. And interestingly, lots of parents are saying, can you make one for adults too? Because, I mean, you know, we're all guilty of falling for something that we see online.
And we all have to be our own editor, really.
Absolutely.
You're hearing this morning from Bryce Corbett. He's with Squiz, The Squiz, a daily news podcast. And, how do you class yourselves? News service, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're a small digital publisher. We're an independent digital publisher.
You've gone the digital way.
We have indeed.
And he's also just won a Churchill Fellowship. What are you going to look at in your Churchill Fellowship? How are other countries doing it better than us?
It's really interesting. There's lots of countries where they're actually quite advanced with respect to the teaching of media literacy, especially to kids of that primary school age. It seemed like 20 years or so ago, countries like Estonia, for instance, and Finland started to introduce programs to teach their kids to filter out mis and disinformation. Now, it's no secret that these are countries that border Russia, because their populace and the governments were finding that their populace were increasingly being exposed to all sorts of misinformation that was coming out of Russia. And so they decided they need to inoculate their populations against that. And that started at primary school. So I'll be traveling to those countries. I'll be traveling to places like France, are really quite advanced as well in terms of their teaching of media literacy to primary school kids. There's a lot happening in the States, and there's a lot happening in the UK as well, including they're talking about legislating the teaching of media literacy to kids in primary schools, because they're starting to understand it's just that important.
Do we have anything in our schools apart from Newtowns or
No, we don't. So this is the reason I think Newtowns has fallen on such fertile ground, because we don't actually have anything here. There is nothing in the Australian curriculum that specifically teaches media literacy. There are lots of parts of the curriculum that touch on it, and there's lots of parts of it that teach different parts of, you know, different ways of thinking critically about texts and things like that. But there is nothing that's specifically taking the education to the world and the realm in which kids live, which is, let's face it, it's Instagram, it's TikTok, it's online, it's social media, it's YouTube. That's where they live. So we've created a program which goes into that space and says, all right, this is the stuff you're seeing on a daily basis, but how do you know how much of it is true? And what are the skills you require to work out what is true and what's not?
Really fascinating. This is why Churchill Fellowships are so great. You go out, you source, you gather, and you come back.
Yeah, I feel incredibly honoured and humbled to have received one, and I'm looking forward to getting stuck into it.
People can tune in every day. You can listen to Squiz Kids, but on Saturday next week, Saturday the 14th, also a referendum on that day.
Indeed.
But you're going to be at the ANU. You're going to be doing Squiz Kids Live.
It's our very first live show. I'm coming out from my little man cave in Brisbane, from where I produce Squiz Kids, which is actually the spare bedroom of our house. And we're coming down to Canberra for the first Squiz Kids Live show, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be lots of fun. We've got special guests from Questacon, a mad scientist, coming in. We've got special guests coming from the Canberra Zoo with some scaly friends. We've also got a great special guest from the ANU itself, Dr. Brad Tucker, who'll be talking about life on Mars, and there'll be a daytime disco leash.
Doesn't get any better than that, and all with media literacy, all packed into it.
Packed into it as well.
Really good. Lots of your comments too, people saying not just the kids, adults' online media literacy is terrible, hence Trump and other extremists hooking people in. Others saying the challenges of news radio is getting caught out with young kids listening. So that's the thing.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point. We make sure that all of the stuff we put into Squiz Kids, we call it news without the nasties. It's just like we will put it through the filter. We don't want kids to feel more anxious after listening to Squiz than they did before they started listening to it.
Well, tune in, Squiz Kids, and head along. Bookings for Squiz Kids Live?
Yes, available via our website, squizkids.com.au.